All right, hey, we're back with another episode of Dads Who Try, episode number 43, or season 2, episode number 3.
We're bringing the whole jersey numbers and episodes back, and you know who wore number 43?
Okay, a couple people, but we're not going to count this first one because we accidentally said this person on a different podcast, and we found out that he didn't actually wear that previous number, but Troy Polamalu is number 43.
Or Darren Sproles, which is he's a very, very fast athlete.
Very fast athlete for
Philadelphia Eagles.
Hey, these Eagles are looking good this year.
They are. Do I think they're going to win the national title?
No, come on.
No, I don't know.
No.
There's a lot of teams out there. Who's going to be top contenders, in your opinion, this year?
Seahawks.
No, stop it right now. They barely beat the Lions yesterday.
Okay. But the Lions are looking good, too. I feel like, you know, beating the Lions used to be like of course you beat the Lions. Now it's like, hey, they're a scrappy team.
They're competing.
They're kind of putting it together.
I will say this is the best I've seen them look in a very, very long time.
Yes. Look, I went to a mandatory parents meeting for Rivers Football League.
Yeah. Love a good parents meeting, by the way.
Yeah, and it's ran by the Rams, and we're really excited. We're Team Jack Youngblood.
Yeah.
Do you know who that is?
Probably someone who played for the Rams.
Yep, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And I think all these players, they sponsor each team.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Eric Dickerson, he's another one, ex-Ram, you know, the whole thing.
Right.
And, bro, this has got to be the most boring meeting I've ever been to in my life. Okay? It's in Inglewood. Shout out to Inglewood. That's our stomping grounds from when we first moved here to Los Angeles. And we're all in this meeting. Bro, there's kids, there's parents. They don't have a mic system set up, so they're trying to yell over everyone.
Yeah.
You know, they show us this these PowerPoints and stuff. And then they show us this video. And they're like, hey, we want you to see how your kids feel about you cheering them on. Watch this video. And it's like all these kids getting up and being like, I don't like when my mom and dad say good job or bad job. I just want them to watch me. You know, it's like all these kids are like, Dad, I know I need to get in the right position, you know. But the problem is, bro,
it was shown on a laptop, probably.
No, it was on a projector. But we're in Inglewood.
Yeah.
Again, River is the only white kid in the whole place.
Yeah.
River's friend's mom, she's the only white person there. Like River and this mom.
Yeah.
The rest of the place, maybe 200 people, it's all black people.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, some Asian people, maybe two Asian people, me and another person, right? And like maybe like five Hispanic people.
Yeah.
But the video's only white kids.
No.
The whole video is like white kids in their
in
their prep school uniforms and stuff. And
yeah, like, but like, where are all these other kids?
When my dad, Greg, says, hurry up and hustle to that ball, I say, Dad, stop. I know how to hustle. And I'm like, bro, what the heck is...
Like, so it's definitely like a video from, like, not from the program.
Yeah, not from... Like, they're all laughing at the video. Like, yo, what is this? Like,
There needs to be a new management team over there.
Gosh. But it made me think. I'm like, hey, we should make a video like that and just let them use it.
Yeah.
Like, we could interview on the sidelines. Like, hey, what do you think about your parents? Da, da, da. And then we'd be like, hey, these are actually kids from the league.
Exactly.
Here you go.
These are not the kids from Beverly Hills.
Dude, that's like exactly what it looked like. And I was like, what? It's weird because River hasn't caught on that there's like socioeconomic differences in the world yet.
Yeah.
Except for like extreme poverty.
Yeah.
But he would say things like, well, that's so cool that they get to live in a tent. And I'm like, dude.
They're just camping all year round, man.
Yeah, they're just camping all year round. And, you know, we had to explain to him like, hey, you know, there's people have, you know, mental illness, or, you know, we try to like explain it to him in a way that he understands, you know. Hey, some people choose to live this lifestyle. Other people, they've unfortunately, you know, they're not able to think clearly, or, you know, whatever, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They don't have a home like we do.
If River asked you if he can live in a tent, you know, maybe when he turned, like, let's just say like 15, 16, he's like, Dad, I actually want to choose a lifestyle of like living in a tent all year long, you know, for the next maybe 10 years. But I'm going to need your assistance.
I would say you're still under my household for 3 more years. After that, you can go do whatever you want. But while you're here, you're not living in a tent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you want to set it up in your room.
But what if he wants to, maybe, what if he wants to set it up in the backyard? He's like, Dad, I actually just want to live in a tent. Just give me a year. He's like, I think I want to know things.
Yeah, I would say, that's fine. Go live in a tent in the backyard, but you can't use anything in the house. No kitchen, no bathroom, no shower, none of our food. You want to live with the squirrels? You can eat with the squirrels, too.
That'll change its mind very quick.
I don't know, actually. He might be like, bet.
I will say this. Seeing River now compared to what I saw him years ago, he is a very determined young man.
Yeah.
And very, I don't know. I think it's so interesting to see kids develop. And, you know, when they're younger, they're so different. It makes me think about all the, you know, my boys, when they get older, how they're going to be.
Yeah.
He's way different from what he was a few years ago.
Totally.
You know, River used to be shy, sweet. Now he's like independent. I want to do my own thing. I want to make my own decisions. How do you feel about that?
He's only 6. He's about to be 7. And he feels like he's going to turn in 17, you know? Well, I mean, I think what's really cool is we promote that independence. You know, like we want him to make decisions on his own. You know, as long as we're there, I saw this quote the other day, let kids do dangerous things carefully.
Yeah, that's great.
And, you know, in the context of it, it was like carefully means like not just them being careful, but like there's careful supervision.
Yeah.
But like let them do dangerous things.
Yeah.
Let them, you know, figure out how to get out of tough positions and situations. And, you know, at this age, that looks like, hey, go ahead, climb that tree.
Yeah.
You know, climb up that wall, you know, whatever it is. But like hopefully we've watched those, you know, principles turn into like social principles.
They pay off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, at school, stuff like that. And so.
Yeah. And I'm actually working through that right now. Mm-hmm. Like before it gets any like worse. I don't know when to be honest with you, I didn't realize how, I don't know, like hovering I was from time to time until like I don't know, the last like 6 months, I think it became very evident that I think just past experience sometimes, I think, you know, with our kids and whatnot, I think I just naturally just kind of like just want them to be careful.
Yeah.
But I got to a point where I was like, okay, man, I think you need to lay off, bro.
Yeah.
And it's hard sometimes because I have to physically tell myself, hey, let them get hurt in this moment.
Yeah, well, the intention is the right intention. I want to protect my kid.
Yeah.
I want them to live a life I didn't have.
Right.
But then, like, realizing, wait a second.
I'm going to cripple this kid if I...
Coddling him is crippling them. Yeah.
Exactly.
What an interesting dynamic just in life. It's like...
Yeah.
How... You know, it's like money. It's like health. It's anything, right? It's like... It's moderation. It's... If you never spend money, then what's the point of having it?
Right.
If you, you know, never perform or do anything active in your life, what's the point of being healthy?
Right.
You know, it's like you have to use it in order for it to have value.
That's it.
It's like, what's the point of letting your kid have, you know, an exciting life or being healthy or whatever it is if they can't go and live the life, you know, go and live life.
Yeah.
In context. I mean, we're not telling our kids to go, you know, climb into a volcano or anything like that.
Of course. You know, I was not to switch lanes for or anything like that, but I wanted to kind of talk about this idea this past week. It kind of hit me when I was watching, I don't know if it was on social media or something, I think it was, but it was the whole situation with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, man.
You know, he played his
first.
What
a bummer.
Yeah, exactly. Played a
first snap or something, or for his first drive?
His first drive.
Damn.
Right? He goes to the Jets. He's about to, you know, people are rallying for this guy.
Yeah.
I think he's a
comeback
little, kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little strange.
Chip on his shoulder. He's a weirdo. Yeah.
Exactly. But he's on the Jets now. People love the Jets. Well, their fans love the Jets. They're loyal to them. And plays his first drive, gets hurt. And what a disappointment. You know, I'm like reading all these articles. People are just like so disappointed. But obviously they're like trying to cheer him on for his comeback. But like, how do you handle that kind of disappointment? You know, like, he's obviously, there's so many people that are, I think, disappointed in the situation in itself, but, you know, you got to think about it. He's probably disappointed in that having to, ACLs and all that stuff is real.
Yeah. What was it? His Achilles. Mm-hmm. Do you see the quote that, you know, one of the young guys, rookies, you know, comes up to him and he's like, you know, Aaron, I'm so sorry, da da da. And did you see Aaron Rodgers' response?
He said, I'm sorry, kid, or something.
He's like, I'm so sorry, kid, I let you down.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a leader, bro.
Bro.
But also, it's like the disappointment, like, he's realizing his injury means the rest of his team's season.
Yeah. And it's like, how do you, I don't know what I would do in that situation. You know, obviously, like, I've never had, like, a torn ACL or anything like that.
Yeah.
I've never played, like, professional, like, a sport where I'm, like,
yeah,
the world's watching them, you know. But,
yeah,
like, handling disappointment, it's such an interesting concept, because I think sometimes if you don't know how to handle it well, that thing could really, like, take you out for years.
That's right.
And I've lately, you know, I think I was trying to analyze, like, not that I was trying to compare myself to Aaron Rodgers, because I'm that level.
Physically, but, though, I don't know.
Thank you. You know, now that you say that, I can see the resemblance between him and I.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the hair part, you're missing that, but.
But I do like to compare, like, you know, the whole idea of, like, this disappointment thing. You know, I feel like I've walked through disappointments in life, and people let you down, and, you know, but. One of the, I think, the greatest things that a person can do is just, I don't know. I love admiring someone who knows how to handle that stuff well. People mess up all the time, but can they bounce back?
That's right.
You know, it's not just this whole lyric stuff from Big Sean, right?
What is the lyric? And then I bounce back.
Last night I took an L, but tonight I bounce back. Hey. But it's like, I love a good, you know, you could just tell a lot about someone how they handle disappointment.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I may be disappointed in this moment, but I am bouncing back. I'm not taking an L.
Yeah, that's right.
What did Dom say from Circle Time? He said, it's not wins and losses, it's wins and
lessons.
Lessons.
What a bar, bro.
Bro, a bar, right?
Yep.
Have you ever had to, you know, I mean, I'm sure you've walked through disappointments in life, but has there been ones that, like, held you down for a while?
Yeah. 100%. You know, I think that the biggest disappointments in life aren't a moment. It's like realities that you have to try to process through over a long period of time.
Yeah.
Those are the worst disappointments. You know, it's like, the reality of the situation is dot, dot, dot. You know, my mom got sick. She got lung cancer. The disappointment. She had a brain aneurysm. Disappointment. She's on oxygen. Disappointment. You know, just her health. For her, the reality is, like, when you get lung, she got lung cancer, they had to remove half of her lung.
Yeah.
So now she has to live on a fourth, you know, with only 3/4 capacity of air for the rest of her life. How do you handle long-term disappointment like that?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like a daily choice to go, like, nope, today I'm gonna choose, even though I feel disappointed, maybe even depressed, full of anxiety, today I'm going to choose to see the world through the lens of gratitude.
Yeah.
I think gratitude is the cure for disappointment.
Yeah.
Right? The greatest way to lose joy in your life is to compare it to the things that you don't have. That's why social media is such a trap. You just look at other people's lives and go, I don't have that. Disappointment.
Yeah.
Right? The greatest way to get rid of disappointment is to find gratitude in what you do have.
Yeah.
Man, I'm disappointed my kid didn't make the soccer team. But you know what? Actually, I have a kid who's healthy enough to try out for the soccer team.
Yeah.
Man, my spouse, she bothers me so much when she says that I spend too much time on my phone. You know what? Actually, hey, I'm really thankful that my spouse wants to spend time with me.
Yeah.
Right?
So good.
And it's reframing your perspective to disappointment's going to come. Waves.
Yeah.
You're going to feel it. You're going to experience it. Sometimes it's going to be pressure. Sometimes it's going to feel crippling. Sometimes you don't want to wake up in the morning. Whatever it is, it's going to happen. That's when you get an opportunity to go, like, no, I'm not going to let these thoughts own me.
Yep.
I'm not going to let these my feelings, I might feel them, but they're not true.
Yeah. We had some friends over the other day. Our son, our youngest son, got sick. And so on Friday, what's today, Monday?
Yeah.
We had him over Saturday night. You know, we had to take a little Ollie into ER. We ended up finding out that he had some fluid by his lungs that could turn into pneumonia. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, all right, we're going to have to take care of the situation. And so we texted some of our friends to see if they can come over and, you know, hang with Levi. And when I say hang with Levi, he was already sleeping. They were just kind
of
watching.
That's the TV. Best type of babysitting, right?
Exactly. But these friends haven't seen our new place. You know, we just moved back like a month and a half, probably like a little over a month ago.
Yeah.
And they walked into our, you know, our unit, and they saw the courtyard, and they're like, okay,
this is dope.
Yeah, this is dope. Then they go into the our apartment. They're like, dude, this is dope.
Yeah.
But for us, you know, there was a point in time when we were living here in LA, and all we wanted was like a dope house. We were like, you know, and I think sometimes when you like want these things, I think it could turn into like this, you know, you're not a sense of like gratefulness kind of like leaves you just a tad, totally. You know, and not that it's not who we are. But I think when you want certain things, I think you lose sight of like the stuff that you do have. You're like, man, this is dope. But when she was saying that, I kind of thought to myself, man, like, I thank God that we actually have a place to stay.
That's right.
You know, thank God that we have a car that we can drive around.
You could be in Michigan in the snow, bro.
We could be in Michigan right now experiencing. Dude, it's probably going to snow here in like the next month and a half in Michigan.
Totally.
You guys.
Yeah.
Let's just be real. So thank God for being able to be back on this side of the country with my friends and drinking good coffee.
Yeah.
You know?
I think, you know, when it comes to disappointment, I think that disappointment, tragedy, hardship, I think you really have three choices. And you can crash, you can camouflage, or you can change. And I think, you know, when disappointment hits, you can choose to crash. You can curl up in a ball, fetal position. Life is so hard, I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to let it happen, you know? I think that's what most people expect you to do.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what most people want you to do. That's why fail videos get millions of views every day, because people love to see other people fail.
Which is crazy.
And every time you see someone else fail, I think subconsciously there's a part of you that feels like you win, because it validates the difficulty of life that you're facing, and it makes you have a sense like, I made it through and they didn't. I must be better than them. And what a joke that is, right? Yeah. None of us are better than the other person. Life hits you differently, and different things matter to different people. So, but I think people want you to crash because it validates their own experience. It allows them to feel like, oh man, I made it, you know? But the problem with crashing is that it always has collateral damage.
Hmm.
And so if me as a dad and a husband, if I experience disappointment and then just curl up in a ball, drink myself into a stupor, give up, get sucked into video games, you know, put my life away, then it affects my kids.
Right, right.
It affects my wife.
That's it.
My job gets messed up.
Yeah.
You know? Or I think this is probably what the majority of people actually do. They camouflage.
Hmm.
I'm not disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm not upset. No, I didn't think it was going to actually happen in the first place, you know, so I didn't really want to get my hopes up. But really, they're going like, man, I'm really hurting inside. I just don't want anyone else to know.
Hmm.
The problem is most of us are bad actors. So everyone knows there's something wrong.
Yep, exactly.
You're just not willing to share it.
That's it.
And if you can't share it, you can't heal from it.
Hmm.
And so you live your life, and eventually there's not enough Band-Aids to cover up the bullet holes, and you bleed out, and then you crash.
Boom.
You're right back to where you didn't want to go. The third option, I think, when you face this one is changing. Going like, man, I failed. I messed up. I made a moral mistake myself. I didn't keep my word. Or something happened to me that I couldn't control.
Hmm.
And now it's my dreams are dashed. My home is in a weird place. My wife left me. You know, whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly.
You get the opportunity to change and to allow the circumstances of your environment to mold you into a better person, a stronger person, a more resilient person, someone with better perspective, you know, someone to choose gratitude every day, you get an opportunity to change. And every day you feel disappointed, you're faced with those three opportunities.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to choose? To get better
bro, so
or
well
to hide
said.
It and crash?
That's it. And we're not sitting here saying that we're dismissing people's problems because we get
I've crashed.
Yeah.
I've camouflaged.
That's it.
I try to change and sometimes I don't, and that leads to disappointment.
That's it.
But every day I'm faced with that opportunity.
Yeah. Bro, that was so well said. And I just think we've made all three of those decisions at some point in our lives. You know, there's times where, you know, I just want to sometimes sit in my own misery. I'm like, yeah. I don't want to talk to anyone right now. I just want to be able to feel like my emotions. I want to, you know, it's like for real.
What music are you listening to?
I don't know. Like Avril Lavigne. Complicated. It just is, bro. I just go there. Avril, speak to me.
Dude, I'm, yeah, all up in my emo phase.
Yeah.
You know, Death Cab for Cutie and Dashboard Confessional, all that stuff, bro.
But I will say, you know, as we mature and as we continue to navigate life, I think it's like, how long do you want to be able to either have life slow down and you just decide to not want to move forward, or you just continue to move forward in a very healthy way and just knowing that, like, you're going to go through pain in life.
Yeah.
Like, that's a given. If you think that this life is just going to be smooth, easy, you know, and, you know, da-da-da-da-da, you know.
Yep.
It's not.
Yeah.
But you have to make a decision, like, today and realize, hey, whatever comes my way, this is how I'm going to respond. Like, I've just made a commitment to myself being back here in L.A. It's been the last 7.5 months, I feel like it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, being in Michigan, I think being away, I think, you know, just having to reanalyze kind of where we're at. What do we want to do? You know, who are we? We started asking ourselves these questions.
Yeah.
We really did. And I think it was such a healthy thing for us, despite of how, you know, moving from LA to Michigan, it was so different.
Yep.
You know, but I think that time away allowed us to, you know, what are the influences in my life that are influencing me in this way that I need to cut off?
Yeah.
What are some decisions that I need to, you know? So we started asking ourselves these questions, and now coming back to it, I think we just have like a good stance of where we're at. And this is, hey, when these things happen, guess what? We will make these decisions because this is who we are.
That's right.
You know, and I think, so I think we all have to make a decision.
Yep.
Who do we want to become today? And how we'll respond to what's ahead.
Yeah, I think what you're saying too is so important. If you have to wait for life to hit you to make a decision, it's too late.
Yeah, that's it.
You gotta decide the person you want to be today when that thing happens. It will happen. It is inevitable. Pain is inevitable. Yeah. What a fun word to say.
Yeah, people will let you down. Situations will let you down.
You'll disappoint yourself, your spouse will disappoint you, your kids will disappoint you, your workspace, your coworkers, your best friends. They're people who are not perfect. Where there's people, there are messes and drama. The question is, what will you do? What decisions will you make right now to make sure that when those things happen, you keep your relationships intact?
Yeah.
And I think that's the goal, right? The goal isn't to be right. The goal isn't to, you know, not experience pain or disappointment. The goal is, how can my relationships get better even though those things happen? How can pain and disappointment forge us into better people? And I think as dads, as fathers, if we can model that for our kids, it'll teach our kids not to be afraid of pain.
That's it.
But to embrace it, to use it, to let it become the thing that turns them into the men that have resilience and a backbone and also have empathy.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's nothing more unattractive than a man who's powerful and has no idea how to use it,
right,
when to use it.
Right, right.
Right? And it's like, when you can process through disappointment instead of camouflage it, you learn to realize that everyone is carrying a level of disappointment. And so you can empathize with them.
Bro, that is so well said. And,
what?
I forget we're wrapping up. Sorry. We can just cut this. We can splice it.
Whatever. Yeah.
But
we got to jump off. We're this is a shorter episode today, and so I think we got a lot of stuff in pretty quickly. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'll say this before we leave. Okay, I checked some of our reviews on our podcast.
Good or bad?
we got a ton of good ones, okay? We're at 4.9 stars out of, you know, almost 100 reviews. So thank you, everyone, for reviewing. We got a 2-star review.
We did.
And the guy said, hey, look, I know that your advice is really good and appreciate the advice, but your intros are too long. 35 minutes and you guys are still chopping it up. I just want to say, look, that's what this podcast is. It's half Friday night out with the guys and half us talking about our real life experiences.
Yeah.
And so I totally understand if that's not for you. You know, I hope you enjoy someone else's podcast and, you know, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. So dumb. No, but look, anybody who tunes in, we appreciate it.
Listen, we're grateful. And, you know, as much as I do not agree with that review, like saying we're thankful, but we don't agree. Come on, man. He's just leaving an honest review. We appreciate it. But, you know,
at least 3 stars, bro. 2 stars?
Come on, like a 2?
That's an F, bro.
Dang, dude. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, whatever, man.
Hey,
moving forward.
Dude, I'm not disappointed.
Exactly.
No, I'm not disappointed.
I'm not hurt. Hey, well, what an episode. Episode 3.
Yep. A few things coming up for us. We're really excited. We have our second merch drop coming up.
Yep.
We still have all of our Dad to Try basics.
Yep.
So if you're looking for just a basic line, we have shorts, T-shirts,
hats,
yeah, everything you need just for your basics. This is the type of stuff, to be honest, like I'm just gonna wear like normal
daily stuff.
Yep. And we have a new line coming up. I think we're really excited for. We can't wait for you guys to check out. But again, we appreciate that you're here, and we'll see you on episode number 44
or season 2, episode 4.
We'll see you on the next one.
Later.